south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Okay, you probably didn't know this, but I just got back from an extended couple of weeks tour of the mother country. Now, not England, that's your mother country. I'm talking about Spain. It is, you know, to all Latin Americans in Central and South America, the mother country. And let me tell you, when you go to Spain, you realize that the Spanish people, being that they're somewhat first world, at least they say or think they are, they really, really do have a condescending and stuck-up attitude towards the former colonies they raped and pillaged in Latin America. You'd think they'd be a bit introspective or even humble about it, but I tell you, they're not. Just the opposite. They've got a superior attitude through and through, but you only really see it firsthand if you speak or understand Spanish. Now, you might remember, on an old show a long time ago, I mentioned that if you're a passport holder or, therefore, citizen of any South or Central American country, you can fly to Spain visa-free. Meaning, unlike the rest of the first world, people with Latin American passports don't have to stand in line and fill out a zillion forms and go for interviews just to get a 90-day tourist visa. They just buy an airline ticket to Spain and they're in. So, to get a tourist visa in any other first world country, for Latins, it's a huge pain in the ass. Which is why so many millions resort to sneaking into the U.S. illegally. So then you might ask, why would Spain do that? Why would they go counter to all other first world country regulations and let just anyone with a Latin country passport enter without a visa? Well, that was because when the deals were all struck for independence in these Latin American countries, in some cases 100 or so years ago, way before the advent of air travel, the mother country, that is Spain, promised that there would always be free reciprocal travel between those Latin American colonies, that is Portuguese or Spanish-speaking countries. So anyway, I was in the mother country, Spain, just a few days ago, as a matter of fact. So the question then might be, how many Latin Americans did I run into? You know, people from Salvador, Guatemala, Bolivia, Peru, Argentina. I mean, come on, if they've been given the right of visa-free travel to the mother country, Spain, then there should be millions of Latin Americans hanging around, right? Well, here's the facts. You know, I'm the kind of guy who asks a lot of questions and butts in a lot. I mean, that really is the only way to get boots-on-the-ground information. I mean, come on, how many times have you been touring somewhere and you have a pressing question on your mind and you never open up your mouth because you feel, well, it might be a bit too forward or impertinent to throw out a question to someone you don't even know? Well, let me tell you, I'm one guy who's never had that problem. To which some people might say, then I probably got my ass kicked a lot as a young man. And you'd be wrong about that because although a lot of people did want to lay me out, early on, I realized it was a very good idea to make friends with the tough guys wherever you were. So, yes, many a young bully really did want to wipe the floor with me, but somehow I always arranged it to let my tougher buddies fight my battles for me. I mean, it worked, really. I only got my ass kicked once by a guy who I later found out was a sociopathic nutcase who ended up in prison on a murder rap. Hey, come on, south side of Chicago, Obama's and Jesse Jackson's old stomping grounds? To nuke the place would be an improvement, you know? But where was I? Oh, yeah. The question is, how many Latin American tourists or Latin American residents did I meet while hanging around in Spain? Well, I can tell you this. I met dozens of people, spoke with the locals, and asked questions all over the place. And I never met a single Latin American tourist. I met a lot of Latin American workers, and guess where they were working? Those lowly jobs as dishwashers and gardeners and laborers at restaurants. And nope, there weren't a huge majority of Latin workers in those professions either. Nothing like the big cities up in the States, I can tell you that. The majority of cooks, waitresses, and dishwashers in Spain, Italy, and France, etc., seem to be of the Indian, that is India, or Muslim persuasion. Surprise, surprise. And let me tell you right now, if you think the U.S. has an immigration problem, you ought to check out Southern Europe. Seems like there really is a direct pipeline to the Middle East. And once again, surprise, surprise, about 98% of them are undocumented illegal aliens, too. Sound familiar? And when you ask any average Spanish person what he or she thinks about that, that is, born and raised Spanish-blooded residents, you get pretty much the very same exasperated answer you get from middle Americans when you ask them about their illegal alien problem coming up from south of the border. And I'll tell you this, if you read the paper or turn on the TV in Spain, Italy, France, for example, that's all they seem to show, boatloads of illegal aliens coming up from Africa, Middle Eastern communities that the cops don't want to go into, and hordes of legal and illegal Slavic immigrants from former Soviet satellite countries like Albania and Romania, etc. And you see every day in the news shots of massive makeshift tent villages located under bridges adjacent to railway stations and circling abandoned parks and dumps. Now, I was in the more touristy areas, so I didn't see any of that, but it was in the news every night. Especially Africans coming over illegally by the thousands in massively overloaded, decrepit boats. In fact, last week, one of the news headlines was that 114 Africans died as they fell off just one of those boats and drowned. So then, what does this have to do with living in Latin America? Well, stick around and you'll get the connection. Let me tell you something else I'm sure you never knew. Now, not only was I in Spain for a while, I also took a Mediterranean cruise. Again, on an all-Spanish-speaking cruise line. Nope, I didn't select a Carnival or Norwegian cruise line. Mostly because they won't let you pay for the cruise in cash, but the Spanish lines will. Isn't that something? Seems like there's a big lag time in the Big Brother thing with the Spanish cruise lines, so you gotta love it, right? Anyway, on that cruise ship, they spoke nothing but Spanish. Though all their printed literature was in both English and Spanish. Anytime they made an announcement over the PA, they sometimes did try an English translation, which always was pretty laughable. And in the big theater where they always have those shows, many times in the musical portions, they'd sing an English song. And even though the musicians were very good to excellent, you just don't want to hear We Are the Champions or Knocking on Heaven's Door or, worse yet, Highway to Hell with a bad Spanish accent. So, in effect, at that show, there were 2,488 very, very happy Spanish cruise passengers and 11 very irritated gringos with no one but themselves to bitch at. Anyway, that aside, my recommendation is don't go on a Spanish cruise line unless you know at least a little Spanish. Or you just might get screwed up on some of the more basic things you really have to know about, like the shore excursion times. Now, this ship held about 2,500 passengers, and as with most cruise lines, for every two passengers, they have one worker. You know, waiters, cooks, maids, maintenance men, etc. So this ship had nearly 1,000 people doing those grunt jobs. Now, get this. About 90 to 95% of those workers, you know, below minimum wage grunt workers, they are not native Spaniards or even native Europeans. And they can get away with the fact that they don't pay minimum wage because when you're out at sea, you're in international waters. Therefore, under the jurisdiction of no particular country. The fact is, there were only really two kinds of worker bees on that ship. About half of them being from Central or South America. Surprise, surprise. And the other half? Well, you'll never guess this. They were from India. So naturally, I'm thinking, what's up with that? People from India on a Spanish-speaking ship? Well, sure, they speak various Hindu dialects, and usually English, because they were conquered by the English and were a colony for, what, 100-something years. But to see that half the worker bees on that cruise ship were from India, a place where almost nobody speaks Spanish? Now, that was weird. However, those Indian workers did take a good stab at their Spanish. I mean, it wasn't good, but like anything, after a while, you pick it up. And I'll tell you, there's nothing stranger than hearing Spanish spoken with an Indian accent. So naturally, I had a few conversations with the kitchen workers, etc. And when I put the question to the various Latin Americans I met, you know, how'd you get on this cruise ship and why are you working here? I always got the same answer. Free room and board, all you can eat, and basically no expenses. So even though they only get paid about, get this, $600, not a week, but a month, most of that they can send back home to their families. As one Honduran guy from Tegucigalpa told me, that $500, that's what he sends home a month to his family in Tegucigalpa, that supports three complete families. His family, his brother's family, and his brother-in-law's family. So it was his luck to get that job, and he knows it. How did he get that job? Well, get this. Talk about convoluted. For 3 years, he was an illegal alien up in Texas. Got caught and deported 2 different times. In the meantime, he learned his English well enough, street ghetto English, of course, but that turned out to be his ace in the hole. When he answered the classified ad that appeared in the Honduran newspaper, he was able in the interview to show that he did know some English, and just for that reason they hired him. In fact, the guy from the cruise line that eventually interviewed him said that they had that ad in the paper for 2 consecutive days and received 7,000 resumes for what turned out to be around 200 jobs. And as it turned out, they only hired people who had some English language experience. So then you might be thinking, why, if it's a Spanish-speaking ship, would they select people with some English? Well, it's because most of the heads of the departments, like the head chef, the chief of maintenance, and the head of the entertainment department, were college-educated people who spoke English. So, in the end, this guy got the job because he was lucky enough to live 3 years in the States and get deported back down to his own country. So, thanks to living in a Tex-Mex ghetto up in the States, he was able to get that job. So, in the end, for him, deportation was a good thing. But then, what about all those guys from India? They were all over that boat. Well, here's a bit of info that one of the Indian waiters told me. Did you know, and I certainly didn't, that Royal Caribbean and a lot of other cruise lines have their recruitment offices based in India? And as it turns out, every single Indian fellow on that ship. And by the way, there were no Indian ladies, just guys. Yes, they all were recruited directly from India. And they, too, do the same thing as those guys from Latin America. They ship back their $500 a month to their families way, way back home. Oh, and by the way, the waiter also told me they always hire married guys. More stable and hardworking, I guess. So back to the initial point of this rant, in that the country of Spain allows any of its former Latin American colonies to have free passage, no visa, into their country as tourists. That being the case, you'd think there'd be Latin American people all over Spain, and then, of course, the rest of the EEU, because once you're in one EEU country, like Spain, you're allowed to go into any other of the 21 EEU countries without a visa. Well, as it turns out, in Europe, you just don't see many Latin Americans at all. And although, when in Latin America, if you ask any person on the street if he'd like to live in Spain or Europe, they all say pretty much the same thing. Hell yes, when do we go? Well, the fact is, it'll take at least $1,000 US for the airfare, which, as it turns out, is about 3 or 4 months' salary for the average Latin American. So it's just not a viable option, but sneaking into the U.S. is. Oh, and by the way, speaking of that uppity attitude I encountered many, many times with native-born Spaniards in regards to their opinions about people of Latin American descent. Well, you could sum it up by saying they look at their former Latin American colonies as a land filled with poorly educated third-world stepchildren that'll never find their way out of the muck. Why? Well, Spaniards will tell you off the cuff that it's because their lesser Latin American brethren are intermixed with the local indigenous types. In other words, their Spanish blood is way too diluted with local blood. And let me tell you, on the surface, by the looks of things, it seems to be very apparent. Now, note, I'm talking about appearances only, not reality. In Spain, there are really no dark-skinned, short people. If you go there, you'll see for yourself that everyone, except the occasional tourist or visitor, seem to be tall, white, European types, in stark contrast to the average Latin American. Other than that, you'll almost never see short, dark-skinned people, unless confronted with a gardener or a waiter. Sound familiar? So what you've got in Spain, the mother country, is a built-in prejudice towards their shorter, darker Latin American descendants. Which always strikes me funny when I hear people talking about how racist the United States is. For whatever problems you all up there might have in that area, let me tell you, you haven't seen racism until you've been to Latin America or Spain. Oh, and by the way, Europe's being invaded by Africans too. 99% of them, illegal and off the books too. In fact, I must have been approached at least 10 times on the mainland in Spain and Italy by groups of tall, very dark Africans toting large white bed sheets on their backs, just loaded with Gucci and Calvin Klein and Tommy Hilfiger knockoffs. I'm telling you, when you see these guys running down the streets, and they do run down the streets, carrying these big loaded down white sheets on their backs, they look like black Santa Clauses. I'm not kidding. And believe me, they are running all the time. They're always running from the cops. So they've got two strikes against them off the bat. They're illegals in a foreign country, and they're selling contraband goods. So when you see four or five of these guys together, toting these big bed sheets full of contraband, they're pretty much mini mobile one-man women's apparel stores. One guy with a sack full of shoes, another guy with a sack full of purses, another jewelry and sunglasses, etc. Now, the cops, who are mostly on motorcycles, are always hot on their trails. For example, I watched as a couple of these African guys threw down their sheets on a big street called La Rambla in Barcelona. In no time, a crowd of prospective women buyers gathered around. Then, maybe 4 or 5 minutes later, one of the black guys whistled. And within 10 seconds, all of them had scooped up their purses, watches, jewelry, and sunglasses. Then, seconds later, two cops in motorcycles showed up on the spot. And those mobile, off-the-books, mini ladies' apparel stores, long gone. Then, not 2 hours later, I'm walking down another street in Barcelona, and there they were. The same guys with their bed sheets spread open with all their paraphernalia, back in business for 10 or 20 minutes, who knows how long, till the lookout once again spotted the nearest cop on their trail. What a way to make a living. Well, at least they're not stealing, right? Meanwhile, back at the cruise ship, there were many wealthy Latin people strolling the decks. And one guy who instantly spotted me out as a gringo, I mean, there are probably only 10 gringos on the whole ship. He came over to ask me specifically what I knew about the University of South Carolina, of which I know absolutely nothing. What a question, huh? Like it's 3 blocks away from the University of Chicago, you know? Anyway, he brought it up because he was so happy to tell me that his granddaughter was going there. He'd paid her full boat tuition. And he told me he was hoping that during or after college, she'd meet a nice American boy, get married, and stay in America the rest of her life because he said Europe was fast crumbling and going to the dogs. Specifically, being overrun by foreigners, like the African boat people, the Muslims, and the Eastern Europeans who were stealing all the jobs. Now remember, Spain is a country we all know has 30 to 35% adult unemployment. And unlike the U.S., even the government officials there admit it. Now note, because of all that unemployment, the average salary in Spain, if you're an unskilled worker, is about $1,000 a month. Now remember, that's not welfare, that's your regular salary. And it's a first world country, so it's first world expensive. Which means the average Spaniard can't even afford his own car. And here's this rich Spanish guy telling me he's so glad that he can afford to send his granddaughter to a U.S. university, hoping she'll marry an American and live out the rest of her life in a land he seems to think is immune from all those problems. I mean, come on. Who says Europeans are better educated and more informed? I'm sure you've heard that cliche before. Well, I can tell you that may be true of Europeans who travel overseas, but the ones in their own native countries that never go anywhere, that's another story completely. Sound familiar? Now, not much longer after that, me and this guy had a kind of falling out. It happened when he asked the usual break-the-ice questions, what I was doing in Spain and what kind of work I did, all that stuff. And when I told him I was from Chicago and I never wanted to go back to the U.S. for any reason whatsoever, and just to needle him a little, I told him I hope he had a plan B for his granddaughter when the feces does hit the ventilator. Well, he gave me that kind of stunned look as if a bird just shit on my head. He just couldn't believe that anyone would ever want to leave the U.S. voluntarily, or that any naturally born American would have such a low opinion of the place. That's when he gave me the tired old pathetic line. He said, if America was going down the tubes, why were all those millions of poor Latin Americans risking life and limb just to sneak into the land of milk and honey? Then I said, if Europe's going down the tubes, then why are all the Africans and Indians and Muslims trying to get in? Now remember, this guy was a self-professed Spanish rich guy. When I asked him how he managed to send his granddaughter to U.S. schools, heavy dollars, that must be about 40 grand a year, you know, out of country tuition, and the fact that he could take cruises like this, well, guess what he did for a living? He was a recently retired, get this, mayor of some small Spanish province, and proud to tell me that he'd been the mayor of that place for 18 years. Yep, once again, face to face with a scumbag politician, living the good life by slapping from the public trough. Oh, and by the way, this guy also had a case of long-range halitosis, which seems to be an occupational hazard for all politicians, I've found. I mean, come on, you'd think their wives and mistresses would clue them in. What some women will put up with to be close to power and money. Yep, I digress as usual. But before I get back on point, let me ask you this question. What would you do if you were on a transatlantic flight and the guy sitting next to you by random fate of computer seat selection had a terrible case of searing BO and migraine-inducing halitosis to boot? Now remember, we're talking about an 8 to 10 hour flight here. Well, I'll tell you what I did. I walked around a lot, but eventually you got to go back to your seat, right? So happily, at around 4 hours into the flight, they passed around some little cups of ice cream dessert. And I held that little cup in my hand for about a half an hour till it became a nicely flowing little milky mass. And when he got up to go to the bathroom, something unfortunate happened. The entire back and seat of his chair somehow got saturated with the stuff. How'd that happen? Well, there were kids running around, and they must have done it, right? Oh, and I forgot to tell you, some of that ice cream also somehow seeped into that little hand controller that allows you to select your entertainment, your movies, your radio, your TV. You know what I'm talking about. On those transatlantic flights, they give you a lot of little diversions like that. And needless to say, his were not squeaky clean. And someday, when there's time, I'll tell you what happened to his earphones and what happened from there. I think you'll appreciate it. So again, the question is, what would you do under those circumstances? My philosophy is, if you're going to stink, that's your business, but don't pass it on to the rest of the world. But I digress. Boy, did I digress. I'm sure some of you have been in a spot like that, so what did you do? And by the way, as crude as this might sound, someone's got to say it. On those long-distance flights, there's an awful lot of farting going on. Pretty damn disgusting, and you know what I mean. Now, leave it to expat Eddie to come up with a solution to that, too. He's a smoker, and he says that years ago there was a cigarette called Carlton, and the filter had charcoal in it. And he swears that you could pull that filter off the cigarette, stick him up your nose. Don't laugh. Better your nose than, well, any place else. And those things would absorb the nastiest of smells, so he says. And in theory, I guess they would. So he says, along with disposable headphones, the airlines should pass out little charcoal filter nose inserts. Don't laugh. Crazier things have happened. And if it flies, no pun intended, whoever gets the contract will be able to avoid all those unpleasantries and get his own Learjet. So much for wishful thinking. Okay, now for sports. Just kidding. If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you know that I've mentioned that Latin America is an ideal place to get top-notch medical care at third-world prices. And I've also mentioned that if you're in any way incapacitated in a wheelchair, homebound, or with whatever medical condition that needs treatment, whether periodically or 24/7, Latin America is also the perfect place to be. Because, like I've said time and time again, you could get a full-time live-in nurse for around $300 to $500 a month. Yep, $300 to $500 a month. So even if you're on Social Security and you're making, let's say, $1,500 a month, you could easily afford a 24/7 live-in nurse who will also double as your maid and your cook and everything else. That's just the way it is down here. Now, on that note, I get a lot of emails from people talking about that very thing and asking me a lot of questions about how to do it, how to go about finding one of those nurses, whether it's 24/7 or just maybe a day nurse or a so-called visiting nurse. Well, it just so happens that recently, one of my Expat Wisdom Seminar attendees has himself been searching for alternatives for his father, who's an Alzheimer's patient up in the States, at a pathetically disgusting, stinky, state-run facility. A thoroughly depressing place. So anyway, he's been trying his hardest to get his dad out of there and down to Latin America into his own apartment. And recently, he's been advertising for nurses. That would be the first step. Now that he knows a little Spanish, he says he's about a 5 on a 10 scale. He tells me he recently ran an ad in the big Managua, Nicaragua newspaper, in Spanish, of course. He ran the ad for a week in the classifieds, and he sent me a copy of the ad, and I'll translate this. It says, looking for a full-time live-in nurse to take care of an elderly patient, preferably a nurse with experience in geriatrics. Please send photo, curriculum, job history, etc. to the following newspaper P.O. box. Well, you know, he ran this ad for a week, and he said by day 2, he'd received over 75 resumes. And now he says because there's such big interest in this kind of work, he's going to rerun the ad asking for a nurse who speaks some English and see what kind of response he gets with that one. Which would be the ideal situation because his dad, he says, is still lucid sometimes and would really need a nurse that knew some English. So he just wanted to let me know that these kinds of newspaper solicitations work like gangbusters. In fact, he says now that he'd like to learn his Spanish a little better and come down to Latin America and maybe start his own business as a middleman, matching up local nurses with first world gringos in need of full-time or part-time care like that. In other words, he's thinking, you contact him and he'll do the mixing and the matching and the interviewing and take the burden off first world gringos who don't know the first thing about finding a nurse down here. A service that would be especially valuable for people who don't speak Spanish. Anyway, as you can see, there are a million opportunities down here, and all you need is to do a little bit of investigation yourself and get some boots on the ground. Now, that said, don't forget my July 2015 Expat Wisdom Seminar. What are you waiting for? If you don't have a plan B when the feces hits the ventilator up north, you've only yourself to blame, and you do need to get your boots on the ground. And you know, so many past Expat Wisdom Seminar attendees have told me this is the easiest, fastest, and best way to go about it. So just go to expatwisdom.com, click on the Latin Seminar link, and get your boots on the ground with me and my team and have some fun while you're at it. And here's how it works. In the mornings, it's lecture time, and every afternoon and evening, it's full boots on the ground. A different experience every day. We do hospitals, doctors, universities, factories, agriculture, real estate, and much more. Not to mention, we give you a set of legal and business contacts you just can't get anywhere else. So again, go to expatwisdom.com, click on the seminar link, and check it out. We're about a month and a half away from launch, so there's still time to get in on the adventure.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture in old